Hello and welcome to Dealcast from Merger Markets, the podcast that gives you essential news, data and analysis from around the globe. I'm Juliana Needham. Now, it's said that a week is a long time in politics, and in Germany and elsewhere, that's certainly the case. Coalition building talks are underway after the elections on the 23rd of February and following the extraordinary scenes in the White House between President Zelensky and Trump. Germany's outgoing Chancellor was at a meeting of European leaders in London a few days ago to discuss Ukraine's future. Since then, Donald Trump has said he's withdrawing military aid to Ukraine. And today, we're recording on Tuesday, the 4th of March, the European Commission has unveiled plans for an emergency funding package to allow member states to borrow to boost military spending. So to try and help make sense of it all, I'm joined by Aurelia Seidelhofer, who is a senior correspondent based in Munich. Hi, Aurelia. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Juliana.
So a week is a long time in politics, and that's certainly been the case globally in Europe and in Germany, where there were elections recently at the end of February. Could you talk through what the mood has been in Germany since those elections on the 23rd of February?
Yes, so I think the elections delivered a result that was largely expected. Friedrich Merz's conservative CDU-CSU party came out first, but they need to form a coalition, which they are currently in talks with the center-left SPD. So I think for a lot of the German Mittelstand companies, this is a relief because Friedrich Merz is seen as pro-business, pro-European, and overall people think this should be a stable government and conducive to deal-making. However, in light of the recent events and especially the news coming out of America, there's a lot of uncertainty now on what this means for Europe as a whole, what this means for defense spending. So for the moment, Friedrich Merz is trying to push through a vote on additional funding for defense still in the current parliament. And we will see how that turns out and what this means for defense and industrial companies in Germany.
So we'll come on in a bit more detail to defense companies. But with Friedrich Merz, the Chancellor in waiting, you mentioned he's going to be popular with the Mittelstand and he's pro-business. Can you elaborate a bit more on that, please?
Yes, so Friedrich Merz, in terms of economic topics, campaigned on lowering energy prices as a priority, which has been a big issue for many German industrial companies since the Ukrainian war. He wants to invest in infrastructure. He wants to lower some taxes, including some corporate taxes. And the SPD is largely aligned. I mean, there are some discussions point about the details on how to do that. And it's not an easy task, but dealmakers tell me that if they are successful in lowering energy prices and creating a more favorable environment for German industrial champions, manufacturing companies and so on, and the struggling automotive industry, this could certainly give a boost to dealmaking here in Europe.
Thank you. And as we've mentioned, it's a very fast-changing political news agenda with Ukraine, and tariffs have been introduced with China, Canada and Mexico. Could you talk through the potential impact on German deal-making? Defence is obviously the sector that's most in the spotlight this week.
Yes, certainly. So in general, tariffs are a problem because the German economy is very export-oriented. And in fact, the German trade surplus with the US reached a record level of $70 billion in 2024. So any tariffs would certainly hurt the German economy a lot. In recent months, there were already some moves by German companies to acquire targets in the US. This was driven perhaps not only for fear of tariffs, but also because some people saw better growth prospects in the US or they wanted to safeguard supply chains. So we will see, especially in light of recent events and the additional uncertainty, how this progresses. In terms of defense, it's kind of a different story because obviously there's going to be a large influx of money. How exactly this will impact deal making is a bit unclear. Some people think there will be more inter-German M&A and creating perhaps national German champions, just because if the companies are larger and have more scale, they are probably better up to the task to deliver additional research, innovation, development, and so on, and synergies. Some people also think there might be scope for pan-European champions. And often Airbus is cited as an example. We even had a recent deal between a joint venture between the German company Rheinmetall and the Italian company Leonardo. So there's already some examples in the world where this could go. I think at this moment in time, what's clear is that Europe will spend a lot more on defense. And it's clear that this will benefit defense companies and also M&A within this sector.
And that would be a change of tack for Germany, wouldn't it, to be spending so much more on defense in the future?
Certainly, because Germany only reached its 2% NATO target last year with a special fund. So there's still no clarity on how this additional funding will be delivered. Germany has a bit of an issue because there is something called the debt break, which limits public borrowing. And there is a lot of discussion about whether this should be reformed to allow for greater spending on infrastructure and defense. And Friedrich Merz has previously said he's not in favor of reforming the debt brake. He wants to approve a special fund. But in light of recent events, there might be more flexibility around that topic. We'll have to see.
Yeah, and there's more and more news emerging from the European Commission this week, and there's a meeting of European leaders, so we will watch this space on that front. You mentioned energy and infrastructure. What is the potential impact on those sectors when it comes to corporate activity and deal-making under the new expected coalition government?
Yes, so there's certainly a commitment to renewable energy investments in the manifestos of the parties. The SPD also said he wants to invest more in hydrogen. A big issue in Germany is as well that while around more than half of electricity was generated from renewables last year, it also needs to go to the places where it's needed. So this isn't solved yet. And obviously, we're talking about huge amounts of money. I think we'll have to see how the coalition talks go, how this is all going to be funded and what the priorities are. That's where I see perhaps most of M&A politically connected M&A. I think separately, what's also quite interesting is that there are some large deals in the pipeline, like TenneT Germany. So that's a subsidiary of TenneT, a Dutch company called TenneT. And this deal might progress further now that we have a new, we are about to get a new government here. And there's Uniper, a German gas company that got nationalized and needs to be reprivatized. So the company already said that it wants to seek conversations with the government about the next steps. And there is, of course, the Commerzbank UniCredit potential take over by the Italian bank of the German bank, which is not particularly favorably looked upon by German politicians at the moment, but would perhaps feed into the idea of creating European champions. So everybody will be watching what's happening politically in that arena as well.
And you've mentioned energy a few times. Is Germany still committed to not having nuclear in its future?
Yes, so the nuclear reactors, the nuclear power stations are not running at the moment anymore. Friedrich Merz's party sort of said they don't exclude bringing nuclear back, but it doesn't seem like this is a very strong plan or thought out plan how that might happen. I think they just want to be a bit more open in terms of flexibility and around what technology is going to be used to address the energy question in Germany.
Great, thank you. And just to finish off, perhaps you could give me a sense of what you're hearing from your sources. What do they make of so many political changes, and how do they think it's going to affect deal making and corporate activity in Germany during the rest of this year?
Yes, so I think there's a big question about cross-border deal-making between Germany and the US. I mean, as I said, the German economy is quite export-oriented and the US is the top destination for Germany. So, however, in terms of regulation, there's also perhaps a bit of a question mark now whether Europe or Germany might be more critical about American companies investing in Germany. At the same time, we do need the investment. The economy is weak. So it's also a question of whether this is affordable or whether there's a compromise to be made.
Aurelia, really good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Aurelia Seidelhofer, who is a senior correspondent based in Munich. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow and subscribe. And for more information about what we've been talking about, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.